Good to see you tonight. It's good to see Rick back out this evening. We've missed him and glad that he's doing better and healing, and Melody's keeping watchful eye on him, and we just pray he'll continue to do well. It's good to see everyone else here. We're thankful that you're here. We want to pick up on study of prayer tonight. We mentioned prayer some this morning and talking about giving God the first hour of every day, that we spend some time in prayer as well as reading His Word, meditating upon His Word. And so we'd like to pick up the theme of prayer and study some more, because as John just read for us, the disciples of Jesus asked Him to teach them to pray. And He said, as John taught His disciples, John taught those that were following and hearing His teaching about prayer, about its place and importance, and how to pray. And so they ask a similar request of Jesus, and He responds and so teaches what is really a model prayer for us to learn from. We're not going to spend our time this evening looking at it. We have in the past, but to use that to springboard into reminding ourselves that prayer really is a forgotten blessing. That when we forget to pray, we forget a great blessing that God has given us. Now, you parents are doing a good job of teaching your children to say please. And more please. Right, Miss Harper? More please. Right? Titus knows the please part. But you're also teaching that just because they say please doesn't mean they automatically get what they ask for. Sometimes it's not good to get what they want, even though they say please, right? So you're teaching them a number of things related to asking and receiving. And Jesus uses that very simple thought, that simple concept from children and parents to talk about our relationship to God and prayer, praying and receiving. In the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 7, Jesus said, "So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and he who knocks, it will be opened." So, ask, seek, and knock. That we have to want what is available to us. Children learn that there are things available to them, things they need and things they want. And so they learn to ask their parents. Well, God says if we know there's something that is needed in our lives, if we will ask Him, then it'll be given. But, of course, that's not the end of the story. We'll go on and fill that out as we go in our study. Seek and you will find. We have to have a deliberate decision to be looking, and we will find. God's not just going to force Himself into your life. We have to have initiative to ask and seek and to knock, and the door will be opened. And then He says, if a son asks for bread from any father among you, will you give him a stone? No, you want to accommodate the request. You want to answer the request. You want to fulfill the request, because that's what a father, that's what a mother does. Because you're interested, you love your child. If he asks for a fish, will you give him a serpent? Give him a snake instead of a fish? Of course not. If he asks for an egg, will you give him a scorpion? Yeah, I'd like to fry that scorpion up for me, Mom. That's what I want. No. You see, if you then, and he makes his point then, if you then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, that is, you who have sinned and have sinned, If you know how to give good gifts, then how much more will your Heavenly Father, who is without sin, give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? He will give good things in return. I'm reading Luke's account in Luke 11, and so some of that wording is a little different. But Matthew 7 through 11 is Matthew's account of that same point. You see, it's a simple concept. Children learn when they ask, they receive. We need to remember that when we ask of our Father, we receive. When we forget to pray, we've forgotten a fundamental, crucial aspect of the relationship that we have with God. For example, we forget the advantages of prayer. Just as we said, children know the advantage of asking. Because a lot of times they get what they ask for. Now, if it's the right thing, a good thing, and they learn what to ask for, what not to ask for, what's acceptable, what's not, but they ask. They ask because they want. They find out. When we stop praying, then we just have eliminated a great advantage, spiritual blessing and advantage in our lives. The fact that God listens to us, His children. That God, you know, on one plane, God knows everything that's said in every moment, every instant of this world. And that's amazing. I mean, that's unfathomable. That God knows the thoughts, the intents of 7 billion people. Upwards of 7 billion. Instantly and always. That's our God. But that He will listen to one person, you. He will listen to you when you pray. And we easily forget that advantage. Let's recapture that privilege. Let's take advantage of the fact that our Father listens and answers. When we forget to pray, we forget the power of prayer. James will say that the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much in its working. Prayer works. Prayer is active. Prayer is strong. And we forget it. We stop praying. As if we don't need that power in our life. We don't need that privilege. Or it would seem so when we forget to pray. You see, when we forget to pray, we forget God. And unfortunately, quite often it's the fact that that in our abundance, we forget to pray because we forget God in our abundance. In Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter, this was a clear warning that God issued to Israel. God is about to bring this generation of Israel into a land that they did not claim. They didn't plant. They didn't build. God's going to fight their battles for them. He's going to say, you march around the city and silently for 6 days, and 7th day, march around 7 times, blow the trumpets, and the walls will fall flat. God's going to give them this land. Just like He has given you your salvation. Now, you had to have faith to receive it. You had to have faith to repent and confess your faith and be baptized. You didn't earn it, just like they didn't earn Jericho, but they had to have the faith to do what God said to receive the blessing. And that's where we stand. We've received abundant blessings that we do not deserve, that we do not earn, that come from the good grace and favor and love of God in His Son, Jesus Christ. And the warning to Israel long ago is, when I bring you into this land, beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping His commandments. Well, why would they possibly forget these things? Well, look at verse 14. Your heart is lifted up, and you forget the Lord your God. When you say, verse 17, when you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gained me this wealth. You see, when they forgot God, they forgot, or when they gained their abundance, they began to forget God. When they elevated their hearts, they remove God. They had abundant blessings, a land flowing with milk and honey, and they forgot God. When we forget to pray, often in times of abundance, because we knowingly or not, we begin to think, don't we, that everything's going pretty good, everything's pretty fine. We've got abundance here, like the man in Luke 12. Take your ease, soul. You've got many goods for many years. And we forget God. Prayer, if we've forgotten prayer, we have forgotten God. And we need to reclaim that memory. We need to, again, put God at the forefront of our lives. Not just on Sunday morning and night and Wednesday. Not a hurried prayer before we eat. We need to remember our Father, because when we don't, You see, we've forgotten our relationship with our Father, with our God, the forgotten blessing. Let's not neglect our relationship with God. And when we don't neglect our relationship with God, we will not neglect prayer in our lives. We need prayer. We need to be talking to our God, to our Father. I'm going to talk about the promises of prayer, the practice of prayer, and also the patience of prayer. Three very simple things to remind us about prayer. God hears and answers our prayers. This is not a hard concept, just like the child knows the parents are listening. Please, more. I want this. I need this. And so it goes. And parents sort that out. God sorts that out too. You see, God sorts out, but He says, ask. Now, He tells us how to ask in some of these verses. In Matthew 21 and 22, He says, ask in faith, nothing doubting. So when we pray and we ask, and knowing that God has promised to listen to us and answer us, nevertheless, He says, whatever you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. So we have to have a trust in God. We don't ask believing God's not going to do it. God can't do it. God's not interested in whatever it is I'm praying about. We prayed for many people tonight, led by Brother Dan. Do we think God can help in any of those, in all of those, in none of those? What do we think? Do we believe? Do we pray in faith? Or do we rush through a formula that we've memorized and we just say it, it just kind of rolls out, but we're really not thinking what we're saying? Is that what you do when you ask of your mother and father something? No, if it's something you really want, you probably think about it, don't you? I remember I did. You think about what you're going to say, how you're going to say it, because you want what it is you're requesting. Well, God says, Jesus said, when you pray, believing, when you ask and you will receive. Now, 1 Peter 3, we looked at this morning. He that would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking guile. Let him seek peace and pursue it. Why is that? For the eye of the Lord is on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But his face is against those who do evil. So, God listens to the righteous. So here's a quality. God's going to hear the righteous, the upright in heart. He's not going to listen to, He's not going to respond to the insincere, the hypocrite, the sinner, the one who despises God, but then in a moment of anguish turns to God and says, oh God, help me, and then turns around and accuses God. He doesn't have any faith in God. But see, so God says, I'll hear you, I will answer you. But conduct your life in harmony with my will, because you're my child. What parent, you see, what does a parent do? A parent wants to bless a child when the child shows respect and honor for the parent. But when the child disrespects, disobeys the parent, they're not in a position a blessing, but rather of discipline, of correction, of punishment. God wants to bless us through prayer. When our lives are in disobedience to Him, we remove ourselves from the blessing. 1 John 5, verses 14 and 15. This is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him. This is a crucial verse about our praying, our prayers. We ask according to His will, not our own. Jesus is our model in the garden, isn't He? We ask according to the will of God. And when we do that, we know we'll have the answer. Because God's will be done. And remember, that's how Jesus teaches us to pray. Thy will be done. When we will shape and mold and fashion our prayers after the will of God, His promise is, I'll listen to you. I'll give attention to you. I will answer you. You will have the answers to the prayers that you pray. Let us not be so foolish as to think we can just ask for whatever we want. And you see, that's one of the tasks of the parent, isn't it? Is to teach the child who's asking for things what's really good for them and what's not. What is really in their benefit and what isn't. What's going to hurt them and what's not going to help, or what's going to help them and what's going to hurt them. That's the parent's job. Well, that's God's job. And when we learn to ask according to His will, He's told us what is good for us, what is right. Love life, see good days, refrain our lips from evil, and speak no God. You see, He teaches us what His will is. And He's assured us, when we'll pray according to His will, He'll listen. He'll hear us and He'll answer us. That's His promise. God's power and God's integrity is at stake in this matter of hearing and answering our prayers. In Jeremiah 32 and 27, a simple statement is made by God Himself. He says, let me get over there with you. Jeremiah 32 and verse 27. Behold, well, verse 26, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah saying, "Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me?" There's nothing too hard for God. Everything that is stated as His will come to pass. And as we pray according to His will, He will answer. We will have the answers that we seek. Matthew 19 and verse 26. Jesus speaks to this point as well. Matthew, the 19th chapter, 26th verse. Jesus looked at them and said, "With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." All things are possible with God. And so, that's His promise. God's integrity is at stake. His power is at stake. If all things are not possible, and of course remember, all things are possible within the context of what He's revealed. His will is. And what He has done, will do, is doing and will do. Now again, all things are possible, but God's not going to act against His revealed will either. Because if He did, that would also violate His integrity. His truthfulness. God cannot lie. Hebrews 6 and 18. So when God reveals His will and assured us He has the power to accomplish it, and we forget to pray, what is that saying? What am I saying about myself at that moment? And my faith at that moment? Am I not saying that I'm not trusting in the power of God? I'm trusting in myself. I've forgotten God's power. I've forgotten that God's very Word is at stake in this matter of prayer. He has promised, He has staked His very integrity upon it. And we can trust it. And then we forget to pray. We need to strengthen our faith, don't we? That's why the lesson this morning is designed to help remind us about first things. So that when it comes now to the matter of prayer, we remember that we're trusting in God's power. And God's love, because God's answers express His love just as surely as parents' answers express their love toward their child. When you answer your child, you're showing love. If you answer consistently and righteously, instructing them and training them and teaching them the good things, you see. Because you listen and you answer, God listens, God answers. So our prayers must respect God. In truth and in the fear of God. Look at Psalm 145 with me. Psalm 145, verse 17 through 19 says, "The Lord is righteous in all His ways, gracious in all His works. The Lord is near to all who call upon Him, to all who call upon Him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of those who fear Him. Also will hear their cry and save them. The Lord preserves all who love Him, but all the wicked He will destroy. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and all flesh shall bless His holy name forever and ever." The Lord has made it very clear who He listens to and who He answers. those who call on Him in truth, those who fear Him, those who love Him. That's the foundation for our prayers and our expectation, the promise of prayer that God has given to us. When we ask in faith, you see, as we already looked, ask in faith, nothing doubting. When we ask according to God's will, we have our petitions. The promise of prayer reminds us not to forget God, and not to forget prayer in our lives. Remember to pray. Let's talk about the practice of prayer for just a moment. We ought to pray about our attitudes. When we practice, I say practice, is the idea of doing it. The practice, make it the way we live. And in our prayers, let's pray about our attitudes. That's about our heart. That's praying about our heart. Because really, in any and every prayer that we pray, when you think about it, even in the petitions toward up for others and all, there's a heart element without fail, because everything we say or we do comes from the heart, from the mind, our attitudes and such. For example, in Philippians 4, we read it this morning, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." Pray to God, ask Him. "And the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Here's a prayer that directly affects the heart, the mind, the emotions, the will, the volition, the conscience, all the aspects of the inner person that define really who we are. God's peace will guard and protect us as we commit these things to Him in prayer. "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true and noble and whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, and whatever things are of good report, if there's anything virtuous and anything praiseworthy, think on these things." Thinking. Attitudes. Let's don't forget to pray about our attitudes, because they shape and define every action of our lives. For example, let's look. Prayer will help our life generally when we pray. Our attitudes, for example, toward our leaders. Because God says, pray for our leaders. "I exhort, first of all, that supplication, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made known for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence." We prayed about that together tonight in our public prayer led by Brother Dan. That affects our attitude. If we're going to pray for our leaders, indirectly at least, there's an attitude issue for ourselves. We want good to succeed, and we supplicate for them. And that affects our lives, that we can live a quiet and peaceable life. You know, in time of temptation, prayer helps us. We pray when we're tempted. Jesus said, "Watch and pray that you do not enter into temptation." What better time to remember to pray than when we're tempted to sin? See, if prayer doesn't have this prominent place in our hearts, in our lives, in our practice, then when we're tempted, we're open to yielding. Watch and pray that you do not fall into temptation. He says, "The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." We don't want to sin, but He says the flesh is weak. The flesh draws us towards sin. So watch and pray. Be vigilant. Be prayerful. Hebrews 4, Jesus makes this possible for us. Because we have a great high priest who's passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let's hold fast our confession. And we have not a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. Jesus understands the trials you face. He was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. So let us come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. He said Jesus knows, Jesus understands. So through Him, through our high priest, go to God in prayer. God, He has made the access available. That's what we sang tonight. Garden of prayer. He opens the gate to the garden. Are we going to use it? Are we going to benefit from it? Are we going to rejoice in it? Are we going to be strengthened by it? Or do we just forget it? It's not a part of our life. We don't think about God. And we stumble into sin. We're overwhelmed by sin. And we wonder how in the world we got there. Let us remember to pray. At all times, pray in times of temptation. Of course, when we sin, as God's people, as Christians, we need to be praying. We need to be repenting, confessing our sin to God, don't we? Psalm 69, we need to be getting out of the sin, and prayer helps us do that. Psalm 69 and verse 5, David, or the psalmist here, says in verse 5, and it is David, "O God, you know my foolishness. My sins are not hidden from you." See, God knows our sins. We can hide them from ourselves. We can deceive ourselves and tell us we're not sinning when we are. We can hide it from God, from men. But we can't hide our sins from God. So, better to pray to God about it. Better to take them to God in prayer and say, "I acknowledge my sin. My transgressions I will not hide. I confess my sins unto you, and you forgave the sins of my heart." That's a paraphrase, but that's from Psalm 51. David found relief. In Psalm 32, he found relief from his sins when he would take it to God in prayer. Simon was told by Peter, "Repent therefore of this thy wickedness and pray the Lord, if perhaps the thought of your heart shall be forgiven you. Confess your sins one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed." James 5:16. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive our sins. 1 John 1 and 9. When prayer has a place, when we don't forget prayer, then when sin does or is committed, we hasten to pray. We rush to the altar of mercy to seek forgiveness because we know God forgives. He hears us. He answers us. But if we've forgotten what prayer is, if it doesn't have a place in our life, do we even think about prayer? How is it that people keep on sinning? How is it that people, Christians, fall away? Clearly, sin damages the relationship with God. And prayer is not used as an avenue to go back to God and seek His forgiveness and reestablish the uprightness, the cleansing that is available. It really, when there is no prayer, it really is indicative, it's symptomatic of the sin problem of the heart and of the life and of the relationship that is faltering. We need to pray for in spiritual growth. "Lord, increase our faith," Luke 17:5 said. And Jesus went on to teach His disciples how to grow in their faith. If you want to pray, pray for a stronger faith and then use God's Word to grow. Now, God's not going to answer your prayer to get stronger in your faith if you pray for it and then you just sit down and do nothing. As we talked about this morning, you sit down and you don't open His Bible, and you don't meditate on His Word, and you don't live in godliness, and you don't add to your faith virtue, and to your virtue knowledge, and to your knowledge perseverance, and your perseverance godliness, and your godliness brotherly kindness, and your brotherly kindness love. You don't add those things to your faith, you're not going to get stronger. But He'll answer your prayer for strength and faith if you will apply yourself to get stronger. We forget to pray, I suppose, because we're not that interested in getting stronger. Is there another answer? We're all tempted. We all have to face this in our lives. Every one of us. Pray for others, too. You know, a big part of prayer is praying for others, not just ourselves. Not just, "I need, I want." Not just, and God hears our petitions for ourselves, but He also teaches us to pray for others. And that's a big part of practicing prayer, the practice of prayer. Look at Colossians 1, just as one example. Of when Paul writes the Colossian Christians, he says in verse 3, "We give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you." Paul was always praying for the Christians there, since we heard of your faith in Christ and of your love for all the saints, he goes on to say. And then in verse 9, "For this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to ask that you be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding." Look at the prayer He prayed for somebody, for them. While it's absolutely correct to pray for physical health and healing, please note that Paul prayed for their spiritual health and their spiritual strengthening. "I ask God, I pray always for you, that you will be filled with knowing His will, that you will have wisdom and understanding to walk worthy of the Lord." He was especially concerned with their spiritual health in prayer, and he prayed for their spiritual strength. Are we doing that for each other? Let's pray for those who are sick. They need our prayers. We should be praying, but let's continue those prayers. And let's, in addition to that, pray for spiritual strengthening of each other, for our spiritual health, that we together will grow in the knowledge of the Lord and walk worthy and please Him and bear the fruit of the Spirit. These are the elements of prayer for each other that strengthen us all. And God says, "I'll answer you." God's answers are there waiting. "Continuing earnestly in prayer with vigilance, in it with thanksgiving. Meanwhile, praying also for us," Paul said in Colossians 4, 2 and 3. Pray for others. And Paul is praying for others, and he is asking others to pray for him. Let us, don't be afraid to ask each other to pray for us. We need each other's prayers. But if we forget to pray, you see, now we've not only removed ourselves from the blessing, but we've removed others from potential blessings also. So it becomes more and more, well, selfish when we refuse to pray, when we forget to pray. Because others are involved too, not just ourselves. And of course, we ought to be praying about heaven. We ought to be praying about going to heaven as our expectation, with our thanksgiving to God, praying for the endurance, for the patience to run the race set before us. And see, all of these spiritual blessings that we have. And of course, with attitude come actions. Just a brief point here, and we're going to have to move on, but 1 Peter 3, 7, I was thinking about this and that came to mind. It said, "Husbands, dwell with your wives according to knowledge, as under the weaker vessel." And it says, giving honor to your wife as to the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. The way we act will either hinder our prayers or make them accessible to the throne of God. As a husband, how you treat your wife will affect whether or not God's listening to your prayers. I need to remember that as a husband. And quite frankly, of course, it works the other way too. Sure, wives cannot be an ungodly wife and expect God to listen either. She has responsibilities. But it's notable that he tells husbands that you're together, you're joint heirs together, you and your wife, that your prayers, husband and wife, are not hindered. Practice a prayer. We've got to commit ourselves to the task, to this opportunity. And a prayer. I'm thinking as back to the child illustration. I don't really think children look at it as some task. That is some, I use the word task and it sent up the flag to me. Is it a task for the child to say, "Please, more? I want, please, I want that, please"? No, because they want it. They need it. They think they do. And sometimes they do. But you see, it's a privilege. It's a great blessing. Let's don't forget it. One final point, and that is the patience of prayer. We need patience when we pray. Now, think with me a minute. We think about, well, those children are so impatient. They're always asking, please, please, please. They're impatient. Please, please, please. But Jesus turned that coin the other direction, and He said we ought always to pray and not to lose heart. That we ought to endure in prayer. That we ought always to be asking, seeking, petitioning God. Look at Psalm 55, 16 and 17. Psalm 55. He says, as for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon, I will pray and cry aloud, and He shall hear my voice. Pray in the evening, pray in the morning, pray in the noontime, pray all the time. He will hear. The patience of prayer is the endurance to keep on praying and not lose heart. Luke 18, 1. Jesus taught the parable of the widow who kept going to the judge, kept asking for justice, asking to be vindicated. And so Jesus said, when the Son of Man comes, will He really find faith on the earth? Will He find His people with the faith to keep on praying? To keep on petitioning, knowing that God will answer, God will respond, He will vindicate righteousness. We've got to keep on praying. Continue steadfastly in prayer, Colossians 4 and verse 2. And the patience of prayer is also the faith to accept God's answers. Remember Jesus in the garden, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will but thine be done. Now Jesus was fully committed to going to the cross, to dying for me and you. And yet He prayed, if it was possible, Father, remove the cup. He didn't want the pain, but He accepted it. When we pray according to the will of God, we don't want potential pain, but we want God's will. And so if pain comes as the will of God, we accept that. We accept that pain. We don't pray, remove me from pain, and if I have pain, God didn't answer me. Hebrews 5, 7 and 8 says, Jesus was heard in the garden for His godly fear. And though He was a son, yet He learned obedience by the things which He suffered. When God answers my prayer and there's suffering attached to the answer, it's not that God does not love me, it's that I am learning obedience to trust that His will is better than mine, that He knows what is best, that with His will comes suffering, but in the end, eternal life. The patience of prayer is to not give up on God and to think that our prayers must always be a painless life. Or otherwise God's not answering. God's not caring. How foolish. How selfish. How self-centered a view of prayer that is. Of God that is. No, we need the patience of prayer that Paul had in 2 Corinthians 11, 7 through 10. Wonderful example, isn't it? God had blessed him with so many revelations that he said He gave me a thorn in the flesh. He said that lest I should be exalted because of the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Paul said this thorn in the flesh that he had was a continual message to stay in his own place, to not get a big head, to don't become arrogant. Because he had received many revelations from God. And he earnestly prayed that it be removed. Because it was painful, it was hurtful. But the Lord said, my grace is sufficient for you. No, it's not going to be removed. My strength is made perfect in weakness. You see, I need pain in my life to remember that I need the strength of God. Is that how you look at pain? Is that how you look at the sorrow that you face? The trial that you're facing, that you see, it helps you rely upon the strength of God. Because you can't do it by yourself. You need the strength of God. But then we forget about prayer. We forget to pray. And so we remove ourselves from that great advantage. And what happens? We get self-consumed. We have a pity party. It's a woe is me. God doesn't care. God doesn't love. Nobody's concerned. It's just all heaps upon us because we've forgotten about prayer. We've forgotten about God. We've forgotten about faith, trusting His answers. Prayer's not for the faint of heart. It challenges us. It challenges us to greater trust in God. It challenges us to be content. You see, to accept God's answers, because being content with God's answers means we're content with God. That comes through faith. The power of contentment is faith. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We've got to put our trust in Him. So, prayer. If prayer does not have a place in your life, or it doesn't have the place it ought to have, a regular, permanent place in our lives, then let's find out why not. Let's examine ourselves. Test ourselves with the Word of God. This lesson is designed to maybe help us begin that. Find out why it's not. And let's correct that. Let's repent of that. Let's change our heart toward God. Let's return to the blessing of prayer. The remembered blessing rather than a forgotten one. If you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, here's the sad truth. You don't even yet have the blessing of prayer. Because God hears His children. And if you're living in sin and not a Christian, you're not yet a child of God. Your sin has hidden His face from you so that He will not hear. But if you will in faith repent, confess your faith in Him and be baptized, you become a child of God. He will hear your prayers and bless you with eternal life. Would you do that tonight? Become a Christian. As God's people, let's don't forget to pray. If we need to repent, let's pray. Let's confess our sin. He'll hear us. He wants to save us. He wants to cleanse us. Won't you come while we stand and we sing?